You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Is there anything better than cracking open a cold beer and listening to your favorite podcasts? No, sir, and I'm here to tell you that the beer you should be cracking is one from our new sponsor, Circle Brewing, located in Austin, Texas at 2340 West Breaker Lane, Suite B. You can have a frosty one in their fabulous tap room where lots of seasonal specials await you, or you can get lots of their treats in the bottle or can at your local craft beer retailer. Try their award-winning Alibi Blonde or their diabolically rich Devil Knight Barrel Age Stout. They have so many solid choices, and they are the official sponsor of OneOfUs.net. Support Circle Brewing and support us, and we really need your support. There is no site without subscribers, and that depends on you. Please think about becoming a subscriber, because we cannot do this without you. The four different subscription tiers are there to give different flavors of bonus content, but we absolutely need your help, whether you sign up to give $2, $5, $10, or $25 a month. Don't be one of those people who loves something but won't lift a finger to keep it around. Help one of us and keep those podcasts coming. Because no brand can ever truly die, we bring you The Apocalypse Murders, which, let's face it, is just a remake of Amityville 2, The Possession.
The Amityville Murders. I think you call it The Apocalypse
Murders. Oh, Apocalypse Murders? Sorry, The Amityville Murders.
I felt like the slow death of the world watching this movie.
All right, so let's start off here with you guys having lowered expectations. This is not a movie that Alan and I enjoyed watching.
No, not close.
Yeah, and that's Alan Galinsky, of course, from Deliberations of Dune.
Hello.
And I brought in as well, because she was here for a previous review, and she's part of Deliberations of Dune, Patience, to be our sort of reaction person.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of intrigued, because I don't think anyone liked the second Amityville horror movie to begin with.
I did.
So now they made another second Amityville horror movie.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, there have been, I don't even know how many Amityville horror movies, like a lot, like seven.
There's a lot. There's the Ryan Reynolds one.
Which
there's
is the best one.
First 15 minutes of The Conjuring 2, or first like 5 minutes of The Conjuring 2, which is in itself a remake for a second.
Yeah. So if you guys don't know, the Amityville horror in 1974, the real story is that this guy named Ronald DeFeo Jr. murdered his entire family, like shot them in their beds while they slept, and then claimed any number of excuses after the fact for why it wasn't actually him. Or like my favorite being the one where his sister actually did all the killing, and then he actually, the only person he killed was his sister while wrestling to get the gun away from her. But there were a lot of different theories and things that were thrown around. There is indeed a lot of weird shit that was going on, not supernaturally, but like, for instance, the dad, his brother was a capo for the mafia, and there was stuff going on with that and money he supposedly had and things like that. So this is an adaptation of that story, as opposed to the more familiar Amityville horror, which is the people who moved in that house after all those killings, who wrote a very popular, to say the least, book and movie based on the book about their said hauntings, which has since been disproved harder than anything has been disproved ever in history.
It's a rough one.
Like, literally every note, even down to the point, is like, and that was the point we saw snow in the tracks. We saw hoof prints in the tracks in the snow, and they're like, we can actually prove there was no snow that weekend. So it's like, you're like, yeah. What? But this goes back to that story of those original actually did happen and really truly shocking killings that happened that night. And there already was a story of this. This official sequel to the Amityville Horror was called Amityville 2, The Possession, which was changed the names. It wasn't DeFeo. I forget what the name was they chose for the characters, but it was basically the story with obviously a lot of dramatic license and a lot of stuff that more referenced the Amityville horror in it, a lot more focus on the supernatural aspects on it that I feel like it's important to mention featured Diane Franklin as the sister, who at that point was probably best known, at least to me, in Better Off Dead. She was the French chick.
Okay.
The
I know exactly
super
who
hot
that
French
is.
Chick.
yeah, she was really pretty.
I did not recognize her in this movie.
Yeah, she plays the mom in the family in this movie, so she is the tie-in. She was like the
exchange student.
She was the exchange student in Better Off Dead, exactly. That's awesome. Yeah, so it was kind of cool right off the bat. I was like, oh, I'm a little... like on the side of this movie for just doing that. That's kind of cool. I had a huge crush on her growing up, no question. But this movie that is trying to tell this story is so not clear on any level what type of movie it wants to be. And I think that the only thing here really that I'm going to give it points for at all is actor John Robinson, who plays Butch DeFeo, the oldest son of the family, who is the one who in fact murdered the rest of his family, who is genuinely trying to do a good job.
Yeah, we talked earlier and both of us had the exact same thing. I was trying to find something that's like positive in this movie, and that's the one part. He is good. Like, he's like, I can say he's legitimately good. It's not like he's trying his best and he's giving his all. Like, he is good in this movie that gives him absolutely nothing, and nothing else in this movie rises to his level. It's not like a tour de force performance or anything, but when everything else is so inept, he really shines bright.
And you might know him. He was an Elephant by Gus Van Sant or Lords of Dogtown. He's one of those actors you see him, you're like, oh, I recognize him from stuff. He's been in plenty of stuff over the years.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, you're really trying. But even like I said, Diane Franklin, who is an actress I've really enjoyed in her younger years, maybe she was just aware of what a low point in her career this was. But wow, is she terrible on that.
She gives an awful monologue. There's like two or three monologues in this movie, which are basically exposition slash hinting at what everyone knows is to come. It's like really, it's like written by a 10-year-old who just learned what like foreshadowing was. It's bad. It's like really bad level writing. And it is a strain to watch her like struggle through these words.
She has a speech, a monologue at one point that we were talking about where she's like, she explains this nightmare she's been having, but it's more of a good dream in a way that is some of the worst written and delivered dialogue I've ever seen, that it almost gives this point movie a star up for how atrociously terrible this sequence is. I was laughing out loud.
There were moments in the first 10 minutes of this movie, I thought it was like, okay, this might be so bad that it's really funny. It has all the signs of it, like really bad ADR. That's obviously not the actor saying it in the scene. Like it's coming on too strong and weird phrases that is just filling out the space. It starts with a character shooting like a home movie, but it looks like there's no attempt to make it look like a home movie. It just looks like HD, but it's in this like 70s.
Plus, I'm like, it was like 1970, well, arguably like 3 or 2 when the home movie shot, and there's sound. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure Super 8 did not have sound at that point.
It's not even like that level. It's just the type of thing where a character's shooting something that no one would ever shoot in a home movie and catching character moments and people like saying things to the camera that are like clearly like almost like a talking head interview.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And it was just jarring, like almost gaudy levels jarring bad for the first 10 minutes of it.
I'm a little confused about the storyline. So, I mean, I'm very familiar with the Amityville Horror murders and I read the books and everything, but is this movie take a supernatural element or is it take more of like a, he's just crazy sociopath?
It's definitely a supernatural element, but
there's
it also
like a summoning of spirits.
But it also takes it from, it hedges its bets because to some degree, with the exception of like maybe one scene, you could say you choose for yourself. Is there actually something supernatural going on or is he crazy? But they actually make the mistake of including the one scene where all the pennies fly up in the room.
Yeah, and there's also like a creature. I guess you could, there's like a shadowy creature that kind of follows around.
Yeah, but
around,
only he
but that
sees
could
it.
Be. Yeah, but the movie does lean in. That's the problem. This movie wanted to do, I think, take a unique take on this, but they couldn't commit to what they were going to do.
Yeah.
They add the money plot with the mob, as we talked about. There's the element that maybe he's just they talk about he has a drug problem and he's kind of going crazy. But then they show these supernatural elements, and there's like a seance, two seances.
Yeah, he and his sister, which they also toy with. If you've seen Amityville 2, The Possession, which ties into rumors at the time in the real story that he and his sister had an incestuous relationship. And in fact, like I said, that like his argument that they committed the killings together, it does as much as mention like it, and not in the sense that they did, but like a sort of like he has a hallucination that he had sex with his sister, and that's the end of it.
Okay.
And you're just like, okay, why even include it, that it sounds, if it comes
it's
to
like
they just,
it's like a Wikipedia breakdown of all the rumors.
Yeah.
And just like little glimpses of these rumors, not, that nothing committed.
But not
to.
In a way that is, yeah, that's not committed
that's
at all.
Exactly.
None of those things, when they time in, like the whole mob thing, like, comes to absolutely nothing, and they keep it going through the whole movie, but they never bother to make it part of the plot in terms of like, but what if that was the mob who did this? I'm like, why even bring it up if you're not going to make that a thing? I mean, Alan and I were both saying, when we were talking about this, we're like, the best way they could have made this movie is halfway through the murders are committed, and then it turns into a trial film. Like, and he starts bringing up all this stuff, and it starts going into this whole, but what if these things were the other ways that happened? That would have been an interesting new take on this story.
Like, as backstory, alternate timelines, flashback-y like,
different versions of it, and like, present us just enough to where it's possible it was these different things.
I mean, you can see it all. You can see the reporter who's looking into it. You can see the courtroom. You see, like, the testimonies. Like, the move, like, that is such a better idea for a movie like this. I mean, how many times can we watch the same? I mean, Haunted House Stories, there's a billion of them.
There's so many.
There's about 1,000 Amityvilles. So, like, why just do the same thing again?
It sounds like this one doesn't have much of an identity. Like, they just, like you said, they took every, you know, Amityville Horror rumor on Wikipedia and then just stuffed it all into one movie and then didn't really go anywhere with anyone.
Like I said, as much as, like, offhand mentioning, but not in a way where the audience would consider it, it's just confusing. If you haven't been, if you haven't studied this intensely the way Patience here has, because she gets off on weird shit.
I'm freaky like that.
Then you'll be like, why was that even in there?
No, yeah, you're totally right, because I hadn't seen Amityville 2. And I'm vaguely familiar with, you know, I know the original story and the haunting of the family, but I don't know about the mob stuff or the presumed incestuous relationship. And I was just confused.
Yeah, you were like, why did that just happen?
Yeah, when he brought it up, I was like, oh, okay, so there is some reason for it to be in there, but it was like nothing comes from that.
This film's lousy with little tiny references to things from the story, including things from the later story, the Anson's story from
one of the best like post like movie ends, and we're gonna give it up some chyrons that explain what's happening, and then it goes to like years later. And then there's another scene, and then there's another chyron to explain what the original Amityville is.
Right.
Like, it was like, why the fuck is this?
There's a sequence where the Ansons show up, and they have it set, the camera set up so the sun is in the camera, is glinting off the lens so you can't see their faces, and you're like,
that's so stupid.
Because you're thinking you're going to get a sequel to remake the Amityville Horror. Guess what? Not going to happen. If anyone's going to remake the Amityville Horror, it's probably going to be the Conjuring series.
Yeah.
Which will do a very fictionalized, who gives a fuck, we just want to make a good scary film.
Movie, yeah.
And I'll be like, great, because it was all bullshit to begin with, so who cares?
Yeah, go nuts. But, yeah, that's the thing, you got to commit. If you're going to make a straight up scary ghost movie, like, commit to that. If you're going to turn it on its head and make it like a mob thing that plays with that element, commit to that. If you're going to make it a weird brother-sister incest murder-suicide thing, lean into that. Just, like, decide what you want to do with this thing and run with it.
And there's just no commitment here. And this guy, the director of this, Daniel Ferrans,
wrote Halloween, Curse of Michael Myers?
Ugh, yeah.
Or which one? I looked it up earlier. Yeah.
I think it's Curse, which is clearly I think that's our favorite.
Yes, I think that's where the cult stuff starts coming in there.
Oh, yeah, Curse of Michael Myers. Yeah.
A long time
good,
ago.
Not
yeah.
good.
With the curse of, is it Thorn or whatever?
But he's like on this weird line of like doing stuff as a director that is attached to real life stories. Like, he's finished The Haunting of Sharon Tate.
Okay.
Really? What is that? I don't know that there was haunting involved with the Sharon
the
Tate
The Crystal
murder.
Lake Massacres we'll Revisited.
Yeah, well, that's, one of those little extras on Jason.
The complete
Friday the
13th
movie
the 13th,
where they're just like, okay, well, this is a documentary about Friday the 13th. But
Scream
he's doing the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson in post-production. You're like, come on, man.
Well,
let me see what you're at.
I gotta say, this Haunting of Sharon Tate movie sounds pretty nuts. It's pregnant with director Roman Polanski's child and awaiting his return from Europe. 26-year-old Hollywood actress Sharon Tate becomes plagued by visions of her imminent death, and it stars Hilary Duff.
Okay.
That sounds pretty fucking weird. I'm actually Lydia kind of excited.
I kind of want to make patients watch it.
I will watch that movie.
No, I'll watch it because it has. I love Lydia Hurst, and I love her.
I just want to see Hilary Duff as Sharon Tate being haunted by her own death.
But this story, I mean, like, it's even got Paul Ben Victor, who, if you don't know the name, and I can't blame you, he's a that guy Italian actor.
Definitely, yeah.
He's been in like almost every Italian movie, like mafia, like gangster movie and TV series ever made. You'll see him and you'll know him immediately. Be like, oh,
it's
yeah,
that guy
playing the dad, and he's. He as well is giving it his all, but it's such a one-dimensional role. Yeah. He's this, and I will say, like, more so even than Amityville 2 Possession, it does nail down the aspect that is certainly true of the real story, that dad was
wildly abusive.
Like the reason DeFeo went crazy is because of the father. If you want to point a finger at anyone in the situation, it's probably the dad who abused that family to the point where something was going to happen. I don't know if it's going to be as terrible as, like, the whole shotgun murder of the entire family.
Killing
the
family kids. Annihilator.
Speaking of which, I kept forgetting throughout this movie that there were other children, which I knew there were, and they would show them occasionally. But, like, when the movie is wrapping up and he's killing everyone in their beds, and then he goes in the kids' room, I was just like, oh, yeah, he has to kill the kids, too. I forgot the kids are in this movie.
There's a sister that's very close to his age, which is the one in Amityville 2, The Possession is Incestuous. There is a younger sister, and there's two younger brothers.
Two little ones. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And one of which, I believe, had disabilities.
Okay.
Did they have anything? Because I know that in the original Amityville, they were very concerned about the well in the basement. Was that part of this movie?
Okay, so the well never came into it. The Red Room is a big part of it, but they're fully... Because if you watched it, there's a big thing in the classic Amityville horror where the family discovers the Red Room, which is insinuated as painted in blood, and it was blocked off despite... every evidence suggesting it was not blocked off, and there's a very good reason why there was a red painted room that was decidedly not painted in blood. But that becomes sort of a center point for this little hidden place that the brother and sister would go. And for reasons that are never explained, they're really into the occult and doing
like the grandma taught them.
Stuff.
There's a thing like they, yeah. There's a weird other monologue about like how the grandparents bought the land and built the house. But the person who owned the land killed his family too, or something. Yeah, I missed
which, by the way,
that.
Doesn't have anything to do with reality. Yeah, there's a whole thing like, oh, the people who built the house, there was a mass murder. It's like, no, there wasn't. Yeah, that did not happen.
That was all very confusing to me when that was started happening.
I'm just really shocked that with the popularity that is The Conjuring and Annabelle's, and I didn't see The Nun, so whatever.
It was pretty fun.
But I'm surprised that they're even kind of allowing this to be made.
Yeah, is Amityville public domain?
Well, I mean,
what's happening?
I think the main reason why there's no explicit references to Amityville horror in The Conjuring is because they don't have the rights to it.
That makes
sense. It's insinuated, but not explicit.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think they very much would like to have the rights to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Both the Ansons are dead. So, I don't know who holds the rights to that at this point. But, yeah, as it goes along, and it really is following mainly Jordan Robinson as Butch DeFeo as the main character who is rapidly losing his shit and fighting it as hard as he can, which, like I said, is the strong point of the film. You find yourself going, why do I care?
Yeah.
We know nothing about these people. There's a couple side characters brought in as like old friends of his who get almost nothing to do.
Oh yeah, I forgot about those dudes.
Paul Ben Victor is Ronnie DeFeo, the senior, the dad, does nothing in every scene he is except beat the shit out of his family and act like shit. And occasionally have sequences that are all about, hey, I have mafia connections, which, like we said, come to abso-fucking-lutely nothing and in no way are important to the plot. And then even the sequences that are supposedly are supernatural, but are one could argue are just what Ronnie DeFeo Jr. is seeing, are nothing but shadow figures. They're just like blacked out images, smoke images of figures. And you're like, what?
Yeah. What is that? Like, what does that even represent?
Yeah. Like, what is that? There's a point, like, are they supposed to be images of his family? Are they supposed to be images of other people?
Yeah.
The film never chooses to really get deep into any of the things it dips its fingers into, yeah, and ultimately ends up with a really banal, kind of boring film.
Very boring. It's like the worst thing any, we talk about like a lot, what the worst thing any movie could be. Even like terrible movies have like highlights to things that are fun or funny or it's like so stupid, or even one good scene. This movie has none of that. It's just bland.
I can't think of, I mean, at its best, that scene we were talking about with the mom and the scene with the grandmother, which are so bad monologues that you actually kind of laugh a little bit during it, are the highlights of the film.
Yeah, that's true.
But hey, let's go to final thoughts. Alan, what do you think?
As describing all these things that like this movie goes nowhere, all these non-committal things that they're trying to do, I almost wonder if the movie thinks it's being clever by doing that, by not committing to anything, like the you decide aspect, which makes me hate it even a little more because it's so not clever.
Yeah.
It's really, really, really bad. I don't know how much more I could expound on it as we have. I was going to say it's not good. I can't even recommend it on any basis. If someone paid you $10 to watch it, you should turn it down.
Wow.
You do something better.
You have more hate for it than I do.
I really,
you're giving it a straight up goose egg.
I think I'm giving it 0 out of however many Amityville horror movies there are.
Like, all 1,000 like, Amityville horror movies.
I mean, the worst
thing. You yourself said you have not watched all of them.
I haven't watched all of them.
You need to watch Amityville 3D before you decide if this is as bad as
okay.
It.
Okay, I mean, I'll take you up on it. It's just.
Do not do it.
Movies that are this.
I got it.
The real bar for you. Movies, do you have 3D glasses with it? I think I do.
Actually,
nice,
yeah.
Nice. It's just so, so boring and bad, and I can't abide it.
Well, based on y'all's reaction, like, seriously, I am going to pass this one up. Yeah. This one doesn't sound like it has any redeeming qualities. Like you said,
no gore.
It has no identity. It just, I like your version of it. Like, if they would have done more of a courtroom type thing with...
That's a movie I would have liked to have seen.
Flashbacks of different possibilities. That sounds like something I would definitely watch. Can I give it a rating?
Yeah.
Can I give it a half of a Ryan Reynolds pack of his 8-pack abs in Amityville Horror, the remake?
Somebody's just sitting here thinking about Ryan Reynolds the entire review.
That's pretty much my daily life.
Patients, stop Al Bundying right now. And those who know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about. It's dull. The worst part about this film is it's not completely incompetent. You watch it and you're like, it's clear that this guy actually knows how to make a movie and he's not terrible and the actors aren't terrible and everything about it is like up to a certain degree of standard of like, this is a movie that would get a real release. And that just makes it worse somehow.
Yeah.
That is just so utterly banal and uncreative and like refusing to take any chances that I almost hate it more for that.
Oh yeah. You just reminded me of one thing. There was like 3 or 4 scenes back to back where he goes to his room and goes to bed, and then he comes out of his room and has some sort of thing, and he goes back to his room and comes to bed, has some sort of thing, comes out like, and there's like, what the fuck is happening with the editing or the pace of this movie? That's the other thing that pissed me off. Sorry.
No, fair enough. You're right. Yeah. There is a lot of him coming in and out of his room.
Yeah, it's a lot. That's the thing I remember the most.
I give this 2 out of 10 of those little weird windows that everyone knows that have since been removed from both the original actual Amity house and the house they filmed the movie in because they were tired of people coming by and wanting to take pictures.
Oh, yeah. Special shout out to the weird CGI Amityville house in this movie. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It was like a CGI house.
Where it pulls out from him in the window and like, it's the worst shot in the whole movie.
It's weird.
CGI is a house.
No, it's like, it pulls away from him in his room out the classic windows, little weird windows up in the attic. And it's so clearly like a shot where he has been like green screened into a thing on top of CG.
It's really weird.
It's kind of embarrassing.
Actually, like, now thinking that CG house gets it one out of all the Amityville. It's so silly.
Most of the rest of the CG isn't even terrible. It's just not trying.
Yeah.
That's why it's not. But that one shot, you're like, how is this hard?
Yeah.
The CW can do this really well. Why are you having
it? It looked like PlayStation 2 level graphics.
Oh,
it was
my
rough.
God. I would rather watch a Amityville Horror, The Adventures of Spyro the Dragon.